are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Friday, January the 17th, and Andre is not headed to Atlanta yet. Anyways, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate that. Today, we're going to pass along the latest trade rumor news about Andre Drummond and what my opinion is on it. I have some thoughts. We're also going to talk about this weekend's opponents, a few other notes to pass along today. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But as I've been talking about, I am going away for the weekend. So we're taping this late on Thursday night and passing along all the information that we have so far for your listening pleasure on Friday. And new news is that I'm going to cancel the episode for Monday's show. There will be no Monday's show. It's a Martin Luther King Day holiday is one reason. The numbers are down because some people aren't at work and using their boss's computers to listen and doing the commute and all that stuff. Another reason is that let's say we put the episode up Monday morning and then the Pistons play at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon against the Wizards. So the episode has a short amount of shelf life. And those two factors, along with the fact that I got really busy these last couple days and wasn't able to pre-tape as many things as I wanted to for the long weekend, is the reasoning for that. So the next scheduled episode will be Tuesday morning. I will still be out of town. I will still put that together from afar, but I have a great interview taped for that that you're going to want to check out on Tuesday, and also a great co-host or a guest host lined up to take care of business on that for Tuesday. All of that being said, as you guys know, I'm probably going to jump on this weekend if something big happens on the trade department. Now, again, no guarantees that I'll do that, even if it is something really big, and I guarantee that I won't do it if it's something pretty small in terms of a trade, a minor trade. Now, if Andre Drummond gets moved this weekend, you can pretty much guarantee that I'm going to get on here from Oregon and get on the phone and do a no technology, no great audio quality, but just some pass along some thoughts. No guarantees that I'll do that, even if the Andre Drummond trade does happen. If Derrick Rose gets traded, I'll probably do one. But if we're talking about Langston for a second-round pick or Markieff for a second-round pick, you can pretty much know that I won't do a emergency podcast for that. So that's where we're at this weekend. I appreciate you guys' patience. We'll be back full throttle with Tuesday's show, and then I'll be back with a live, full, regular show for Wednesday and through the trade deadline on February 6th. I appreciate you guys being patient with me. You know that we're doing this all year round, and we got to take some time to ourselves at some point. As it is, I'm taking some work on the road, unfortunately. So, but a good story that I'm excited about to share with you guys. In Monday's edition of the Detroit News, like I said, got to take that on vacation a little bit, and that'll come out online on Sunday. And as we talked about yesterday, it's a nice story about Svi Mykhailiuk. I talked to him, talked to Coach Casey, and three other sources that I've talked to that all provided some really good information about him. I'm looking forward to writing this story and getting it done for you guys, although it'll be written from airports and other places on the travels. But that's enough about the details for the notes. Let's get to the big news from Thursday, and that's that apparently Andre Drummond will not be traded to the Atlanta Hawks. That was the team that sparked the major rumors, I guess, a couple weeks ago now, that Adrian Wojnarowski dropped a Woj bomb saying that the Pistons were likely to move Andre Drummond before the February 6th trade deadline, and that Atlanta was emerging as a very strong suitor. Well, on Thursday, Chris Haynes of Yahoo reported that the Pistons and Hawks are no longer engaged in trade talks for Drummond in the lead-up to the February 6th trade deadline, and it sounds like Atlanta backed off when Detroit put together a trade proposal that would have been a combination of Damian Jones and, it sounds like, either Chandler Parsons or Allen Crabb in addition to a first-round pick. It didn't specify which first-round pick they were talking about for Drummond. Now, Allen Crabb will not be traded from Atlanta to Detroit because he was traded on Thursday to Minnesota for Jeff Teague instead, and Travion Graham as well. So Allen Crabb obviously will not be traded to Detroit, but you know Chandler Parsons is still there. If they want to, if this is a little bit of gamesmanship, certainly I believe that, Andre Drummond will not be traded to Atlanta, but I haven't completely ruled out the possibility that there's a little bit of posturing going on here. Again, certainly don't believe. I believe that Atlanta's kind of made an organizational decision that we don't need to be parting with a first-round pick for a rental, or the bird rights for Andre Drummond this summer aren't as valuable for him. The report also said that the Pistons are still shopping Drummond. I think it said like something like aggressively taking calls or actively taking calls. I'm actively taking calls too, if you ever want to give me a call. But then it also says that the two-time All-Star center Andre Drummond is still expected to decline his $28.8 million option this summer and test free agency. So interesting about that, because as we kind of have speculated and read from different sources, that the Pistons really wanted to unload him for the fear that he wouldn't decline the $28.8 million option and he would opt in, and that would take away some of the Pistons' flexibility this summer. Now, if they're still getting a read that he's still going to be opting out of that $28.8 million player option, then it becomes less urgent to trade him in that situation. So you can see where maybe the Pistons are hardening their stance on what they're asking for in a trade if they're believing that Andre is going to walk away from that player option. Anyway, still the Pistons could re-sign him at a different contract if he does opt out, but of course he becomes an unrestricted free agent at that time. Chris Haynes also reporting that Atlanta would still consider pursuing Drummond this summer if he were to become a free agent. This all makes sense to me from Atlanta's perspective, just because Drummond's not a guy that the bird rights are all that valuable for Atlanta, because they're not even close to the salary cap, so they don't need bird rights. And the bird rights also give you the ability to offer a fifth year and offer more money than a team who isn't a team that has his bird rights. But I don't think Andre Drummond's that type of player where the maximum amount of money, things close to a max contract, it's not going to be that in terms of the market for him. So really, that fifth year is kind of the only thing that would be beneficial for it. And really, do you want to give five-year contracts to anyone, right, at this point, especially a guy who's not a franchise? I don't know, and you could get in an argument about semantics about if he's a franchise centerpiece or a superstar or just a star. But obviously he's in that ballpark of something less than a superstar. But yeah, I could totally understand where Atlanta's coming from. And again, with the fact that if Detroit believes that they're not going to be parting, or they're not going to be stuck with his contract next year if that's the way they see it, I can understand why they would want to hold out for a better deal than just a second-round pick, or heavens forbid, just an expiring contract. So that's the latest there. I'm going to give my thoughts on this here in a little bit, but I also wanted to pass along, in the Detroit News, I wrote a story about Langston Galloway. We talked to him Monday after the game. He actually had a nice three-point shooting game on Monday in the loss, going 2-for-4, but since then went down in his downward spiral that has continued throughout the month of January and into the December, end of December as well. We've talked about it on this show plenty, so it doesn't surprise you that I wrote this story. But up till December 15th, which is the unofficial opening of NBA's trade season, he was shooting 42.9% on 5.7 three-point attempts per game. Since then, right as his trade value was highest at that point, he has gone 31.3% on threes at 4.2 attempts. So he's gone way down. And as we've talked about, this is kind of a trend of his career. In his career, he's a 41.3% three-point shooter in November, so starts off really well. And then January has been his low mark pretty much his whole career, almost every season, 33.0% cumulatively for every January throughout his career. And actually in college, the 5 months that you play college basketball games, January was his low as well, 40.8, as compared to his high, which is 42.6. So not much of a variance there, but still interesting that January has been his bugaboo. We remember it from the first year he was here. In December and January, he combined for 31% for three in those months, after he started off really well at 42.2%. Last season was just a really kind of a messy one for him for the first half, shooting 33.6% at the end of January. But then when they traded Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson last year, opening up some wing minutes, a lot of those minutes went to Langston Galloway, and he proved Coach right for giving him those minutes, and he had that stretch of 12 straight three-pointers. So interesting things from Langston Galloway there. Also wanted to pass along Derrick Rose note that with the 22 points he had in Wednesday's win against Boston, Derrick Rose has now scored 20 or more points in seven consecutive games, his longest streak since his MVP season in 2010-11 in Chicago. So an unbelievable rebirth of Derrick Rose's career that we're witnessing here night in and night out in Detroit. But up next, I'm going to tell you my new Andre Drummond thoughts. I've kind of evolved on this a little bit over time. I'm going to share those with you guys. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn to all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start and continuation of college hoop season, almost March, it's time to get off the sidelines and get in the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of dude who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites, throw them together. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together and you can get a decent payout out of it, even though if you're being conservative and betting those favorites. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Are you tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get you your mind off everything else and get back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to look ahead to what could be an interesting game on Saturday night against the Atlanta Hawks, and then also look ahead to Monday against Washington, because like I said, the plan is for no podcast until Tuesday, but there's always the chance that I could jump on and drop an emergency one from the Pacific Northwest. But first, I have a bit of an unexpected opinion on Andre Drummond. I don't think I've changed my mind on this, but I really think that this news on Atlanta today, Thursday afternoon, shifts the conversation. When I heard that Andre Drummond was likely to get moved and that there's going to be a first-round pick, the Brooklyn first-round pick involved, and Woj's original report said there would be other assets involved too. I was excited for a new era to kind of begin with the qualifier that you get that first-round pick. And again, I still predict that he ultimately opts in with whatever team he's with this summer to that $28.8 million. That's a lot of money compared to $18 or $20 million a year, even if you get that added financial security. But I don't think Andre Drummond's too concerned about the added financial security. I think you roll the dice. If you're that young, you're that rich already, you just kind of check on that. And I think that that's a move he would make. Take the big money now. And I think it'd be a smart move too, by the way. But I do say, if what we're kind of hearing is true and the winds of change is basically saying that you're only going to get matching salaries for Andre Drummond, and a mid-second round pick or worse, maybe something like that. Now, again, if this is a good second round pick, that probably changes the calculus a little bit if we're talking about, you know, one of the top 10 first second round picks for next year, or a second round pick from a team that you can envision being bad down the road. But if that's what we're talking about, like a mid-second round pick or worse, I say don't do it, or no pick at all. Given that this Atlanta deal has fallen through, I'm going to keep it consistent with what I've talked about with Derrick Rose for this entire few weeks, and that is asset maximization. You have to maximize your assets. And whatever you have, you need to, if you're in a rebuilding situation, you need to go ahead and think about that in terms of the assets. We can't have these really important or really groundbreaking human issues and the fact that, you know, Andre's mopey, and then it's kind of infecting the locker room at times. And I just don't see that as being the scenario for the Pistons. I think if you get a motivated Andre Drummond, which I think he would be if he gets spurned and kind of embarrassed at the deadline here. And again, you know me, I'm not a huge Andre guy. I don't think I've ever been accused of being on the Andre Drummond bandwagon. But you don't give up a two-time All-Star for nothing. You make trades when guys are at their highest in value, not when they're at their lowest. And I realize that that time has probably passed at this point. But now since it's basically at zero and at matching salaries, you might as well roll the dice and hope that it gets higher over the next year plus. And again, the parameters of this opinion, this is a weak draft. It's not really worth tanking for. Now, what are we talking about in terms of tanking for the rest of the season with Andre, without Andre? post-trade deadline, we're talking about, what, a 30-game stretch of the season against, by the way, the toughest post-All-Star break schedule in the league. With Andre, let's say he's motivated, the Pistons are playing as well as they could be without Blake Griffin the rest of the year. You might not have Derrick Rose. You might not have Langston Galloway, Markieff Morris, other people who could be traded. And again, you trade expirings for whatever. We're talking about Galloway. You trade him for whatever at this deadline. But if the Pistons are playing well in that 30-game stretch with Andre, what are they going to go against tough teams going out west a bunch, 11-19 maybe, like optimistically? Without Dre, you're still going to win a few of those games. You're not going to go 0-30. Maybe you go something like 7-23 instead. And again, this is like, in my mind, that's like the high end and the low end. So, I don't realistically, and I could see a world where if they trade Dre and win more games without him. I mean, if everyone's talking about how bad Dre is, then maybe they get better without him. I see that world possibly happening too. So maybe trading him kind of hurts the tank in some ways. So, but realistically, 11-19 compared to 7-23, that's a 4-win difference at the most. That's at, we're talking about two spots in the lottery, two spots in the draft, just to get that tank. And again, after missing out on the trade, you get maybe a little bit of a motivated Dre, an embarrassed Dre. He realizes nobody wants him. He's playing hard. He's playing focused. He's trying to earn his summer money because he believes he's a free agent this summer. And let's say that does get you the Pistons, unfortunately, a couple more wins. Well, you know what that means? Then his trade value might go up a little bit this summer. So second of all, he might opt out anyway. So, and that's the reported news, is that he's going to opt out anyway. So you're not really losing anything if you're giving one expiring contract up for another expiring contract. And if he does opt in, I don't necessarily think that that's worst case scenario either. Because like I said, if he plays well enough to kind of ruin your tank, maybe you could still trade him at that point. I think that if he opts in an off season, these horrible teams, the Atlantas of the world, I think that becomes more of an option to trade with them this summer when they can have a full season of Andre Drummond, just one full season, so they could try it out a full year. You maybe talk yourself into being an East playoff team next year, which is realistic for anybody in the Eastern Conference. The Charlotte Hornets, the New York Knicks, I think that they are similarly positioned to where there are teams that are going nowhere the rest of this season, and they have no incentive to win the rest of the way, which hurts their reasoning for going to get Andre Drummond right now. But that summer, they might be more interested in. And I think that's half the league, right? The half that wants to up – you have half the league that wants to that doesn't want to trade for Drummond because it might make their team better and hurt their draft position. The other half of the league might want to upgrade their team at the deadline for the playoff push, including your Torontos and Bostons and Dallases. But those teams don't have a slot for a $28 million player that can open up. Now, I know that there's not all sorts of slots open this summer either. There's not a lot of cap space out there. But that, I think in summer, you change the calculation for a lot of teams going into a full season where they could maybe have a strong year and have a full year of trying out Drummond on his expiring contract. And, it just brings more options, more teams into play. And again, worst case scenario, according to some of you guys, opts in and then you can't trade him this summer. What about the summer of 2021? Expiring contracts become more valuable. Is it an awkward year for the franchise to have Drummond stay for an entire next season? Yes. Is it a painful year? Yes. Does it possibly hurt some development? Maybe. And that's a decision you have to make along the way. But this team needs to be thinking in the context of Sekou's career, Bruce's career, Svi's career. These guys are not ready to lead a playoff team next season anyway. And it might be smart to just kind of let Andre fall off the books next year naturally if you can't get anything for him over the next year and a half. And again, that's the worst case scenario. If you can't move him this summer, can't move him next deadline, he's be gone for 2021 in the summer when it's beneficial to have the cap space anyway. The following year, Blake Griffin comes off in 2022. You're free of all the big financial burdens. And maybe Blake Griffin is the hobbled warrior these next couple years, this leader in his final couple years of his contract without Drummond, the unquestioned leader of this team, gets the knee a little bit more right than it is right now. The young guys are ready. And then maybe 2 years from now, you got a fun team with a chance of winning. And I know what you're thinking, 2 years is a long time, but that's where this franchise is. And knowing that, it allows this team to have some patience, let this Andre thing materialize, roll the dice, and gamble that maybe the value goes up a little bit this summer or maybe even next deadline, and figure it out as we go. Don't pass up good offers. Don't pass up even probably early second-round picks. But if they aren't there, just hold on to him. I think that's more important that they trade Derrick Rose, honestly, this next couple weeks while his value won't get any higher than to trade Drummond for nothing and think that it's addition by subtraction. Honestly, at this point, I would predict that he doesn't get moved. I don't think anyone's given up a first, it seems like. And I wouldn't take a mid to late second. That early second probably does it for me. 2 seconds unprotected if they're the right second rounds. I probably do that too. But I'm probably asking for something like 3 second-round picks if I can't get a first. Atlanta, they've got a lot. Not next year or the year after that. But down the road, they've got extras. I'd load up on those down the road, take 3 of them for and get the expiring contracts. Then do the thing where you trade 2 to get back into this year's second round if you want, the Kyrie Thomas special. I'd still ask for that OKC's lottery-protected first in 2022 that conveys to 2 seconds after that, although I think that that might even be more valuable than the Brooklyn pick in this bad draft, to be honest with you, that Atlanta, I would probably be more willing to give up the Brooklyn pick than the Oklahoma City pick, just for the reason that the West is tough. Oklahoma City, you know, they could if they make the playoffs, you know, you get that pick, and if they fall out of it, then it's obviously lottery-protected, but you could see a world where Oklahoma City's bottom of the rung playoff team, and you can turn that 2022, that double draft, into a nice pick in the mid-first round. So, yeah, you asked for that before the Brooklyn pick, I believe. But a couple of seconds, that works to me as well. But up next, we're going to talk about the weekend, Atlanta and Washington. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Sekou Doumbouya, that's how to pronounce the name. We heard it from him. The Pistons released a video and of him at the very beginning of it saying his name. So Sekou Doumbouya. So we went in circles all week, and we figured out that I was almost right. I was putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable, unfortunately, and I was going early in the season and throughout most of the year, Sekou Doumbouya. And I was close. I had all the syllables pronounced correctly, but the emphasis, like I said, wrong syllable. So Sekou Doumbouya. Sekou Doumbouya. Let's get this right from now on. Sekou Doumbouya. I think that everyone needs to practice that. Go home and get in front of the mirror and say Sekou Doumbouya. 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 Sekou Doumbouya. Talked to another member of the Pistons front office today who was really emphasizing the Sekou. 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 Sekou didn't say that when he was asked about his name. But if you want to go ahead and sound cool and say Sekou, Sekou, Doumbouya, make sure we get that Doumbouya, Doumbouya. So that's your lesson there. Get in front of the mirror, practice it at home, record yourself saying it, listen to it back like I do. But the Pistons this weekend got the Hawks on Saturday night in the road. But the Pistons at a rest advantage, even though they're going on the road a couple days off, while the Hawks, meanwhile, are playing in San Antonio tonight on the injury report on Thursday night for tonight's game. In San Antonio, Jabari Parker's on there. Chandler Parsons got into a car accident the other day and suffered a concussion. He's in concussion protocol. He wasn't playing anyway even before that, but now they've got like a legitimate reason to hold him out. But, you know, scary, obviously, when stuff like that happens, and we wish him the best. The expiring contract of Chandler Parsons, as he should be known, but he's certainly not going to play against the Pistons on Saturday. Alex Len is also out as well. So big chance for Andre Drummond to show off, and maybe Atlanta changes their mind and says, you know, not only are we giving you the Brooklyn pick, we're giving you our pick for the first round, unprotected. What are the chances of that? Not good. But anyway, Saturday night, or maybe tonight, could be the debuts in a Hawks uniform of this iteration of the Jeff Teague era. He was there, of course, before, but they just traded for him and Travion Graham in the Allen Crabbe deal on Thursday, so that could be fun to see Jeff Teague returning home. Plenty of good seats. Well, like I said, it is pretty exciting for them, but not really a reason for Pistons fans to watch a game that you might not otherwise watch. It's a Saturday night, so, you know, go ahead and do something fun instead of watching this game. But Atlanta comes into Saturday night at 9, or I'm sorry, they come into tonight's game at 9:32, and we'll see if they get the dub in San Antonio. They lost 10 in a row fairly recently, and starting with that streak, they've lost 15 of their last 18 after winning a game against Phoenix on Tuesday. But like I said, rest advantage for the Pistons coming up Saturday night. Trae Young has been having an outstanding offensive season. One of the worst teams and led by Trae Young defensively, so you could see where Andre could help them out there. Cam Reddish had 20 the other night. Kind of a dreadful rookie season for him. Got to keep an eye on for the Pistons. Maybe not for trade reasons, but just an interesting NBA follow these days to see how his career kind of pans out after a horrific year at Duke and a disappointing start to his season. But it's got all the tools, so we'll see how it goes down for him. Washington on Monday, 13-27. I believe this is a 2 o'clock start against the Pistons in the capital city. Yes, 2 p.m. start there. So skip work, watch the Wizards and the Pistons. And really, kind of nice play these really bad teams because it's a couple games that it wouldn't really hurt to lose. Probably would help to lose. Kind of the beauty of this season. It's nice when the Pistons win, but it's also okay when they lose. And the Wizards actually playing decent ball lately, 3-3 in their last six. A bad team that's kind of fun to watch. They're very good offensively. They're very bad defensively. So the Pistons could score some. Sekou Doumbouya could have a nice couple games, which is fun to watch. Also fun to watch Ish Smith playing well lately, putting up some big numbers. He had a 30-plus game the other day. Jordan McRae, whoever that is playing well too. And, of course, Bradley Beal. Injury-wise, they're without Hachimura right now. Garrison Matthews, who is apparently a person who plays in the NBA. When he checked in at the game I was at, Wizards-Pistons, end of December, I was like, literally had no idea. He went to Lipscomb. His name was G. Matthews. His first name could have been anything, and I would have no idea. But Mo Wagner's out. John Wall, of course. But they do have some of their guys back from the last times the Pistons played the Wizards, so it could be interesting there. Pistons have gotten drilled over these Martin Luther King Day games lately, and we'll see if they can turn that around. But that'll do it for our show. Again, no show regularly scheduled till Tuesday, and maybe we'll fill in if something happens in between there and then, but I hope not. And wish me a good time over in Oregon, and we'll be back in a few days. And you guys enjoy the weekend. Maybe the Pistons a win or a loss, whatever you're rooting for, whatever your heart desires. Wishing that for you. So this is your host, Matt Shook, Locked on Pistons, saying have a great weekend, everyone.